Call to order this regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Langley, Alaska on February 23rd, 2016 at 7 p.m. The Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Daniel Blake, and if you remain standing for the invocation by Clay Hammer.
A pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our heads. Lord, we want to thank you for the freedom that we have to meet tonight in this manner. We pray that you give us open eyes and wisdom, that we see and do the things that you would have us do, and you lead us down forward in these trying times. We pray that you bless this body with vision, perseverance, and most of all, above average intelligence as they tackle the challenges that affect us all. And it is in your name we ask this. Amen.
Thank you.
You're asking for a lot, Clay.
Above average.
Yeah, we have no ceremonial matters this evening, so roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Blake?
Here.
Prisanka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker?
Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. No one has any amendments. Item four, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? Item five, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk, items 6A, 7A, 7B, and 7C.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prisanka?
Yes.
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Items 6 and 7 have been taken care of under consent agenda. Item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
Other than the written report, we had kind of an interesting thing with the Canadian Mounties. Back in 1902, there was two people that, Mounties that died on the Stikine River. One survived. And anyway, they were buried, or one was brought back here to be buried, and they've never closed that person out of their, kind of the, what's the term, the honored and dedicated. Mm-hmm. They're still kind of like outstanding on their role.
Memorialized.
And so anyway, they want to come here to Wrangell and do that. So Kim has been working with them, and I've talked to him several times too, but they're coming here on the April 10th to kind of coordinate it, and then on May 10th they're going to have a ceremony, and it's kind of their people to come down and do this. And so on April 10th we'll know a little more, but we're trying to help do some of the things because they got a couple small planes are coming down here, so the more things we can provide, the less things they have to haul down here. So anyway, we're looking forward to it, and it's something that, you know, they're certainly passionate about, and we're more than happy to help out however we can. So I think they're just here a short time that day. They're coming in and doing the ceremony out at the they'll have a gravestone that we'll have already installed, and they'll do their ceremony and probably be here for a couple hours to do some sightseeing, looking around, and then they're back on the planes heading back to, I think, Whitehorse or other, maybe other places too. But and then the only other thing, the Bipers Junkyard, the folks should be in town. They were supposed to get here last weekend, and so you probably will start to see some activity out there in the cleanup.
They're out here today.
Were they out there today? Okay. So so that's good news that that's started, and it sounds like it'll take them a couple months to do everything they're going to do. And that's about it, unless someone has questions.
How did their meeting go with the team looking at the sawmill site?
Excellent. We met with them, with some of our staff, and they talked about kind of just the approach they're going to do, things they're going to be looking at. And then they had an open forum for the public, just to see if anybody had, you know, ideas that someone else hadn't thought about, and talked about kind of the strengths of the site, weaknesses of the site, real concerns and opportunities, and kind of focused on those four kind of areas. And but it sounds like they will, when they're done, they certainly will have done a thorough job of looking at and talking to everybody and anybody that we look like maybe we could partner with out there. But the other thing I liked about him is, he told us up front, he said, I'm not going to come back, and if I think this is the answer you want, I'm not going to come back and make my report to fit that. He says, I'm going to be honest to you, and if I feel it's a, you know, it's a doable thing, you know, that's how it will come out. If I think that there's just too many risks and too many questions and problems and this, I'm going to tell you that. So I appreciated that, not to just have a yes report to tell us what we want to hear and say go forward, and then, you know, so. No, so I was impressed. They will be back. They're sending a couple engineer-type folks back next month to look at some of the you know, things with utilities and obviously the dock and some other things like that. And they expect to have their final report, and they probably will be back another time, but they'll have their final report when all this is done, probably sometime in May. And I've written Mr. Bueller a letter just to tell him what we're doing, and I actually saw him today and chatted with him a little bit, and I think it sounded like he was going to come by City Hall and yak at me for a little bit. So keep him in the loop what we're doing, so he knows that we're, you know, not just ignoring him, we're working on this, and but we have to go through this due diligence to do what we need to do. So, and then I believe the folks on the Institute property, Corvus, they will be in town shortly also to start working on the Institute property. And my guess is there probably is going to be more public participation in that than there is at the mill. You know, there's, if you talk to 100 different people, you get 100 different answers about what we should do with that property. But they're kind of land developers, and so hopefully they have some ideas of what can be done there. And, but anyway, their process is also starting.
Okay. So the Byford property, when it's all done and cleaned up and stuff, is that's going to be a residential lot?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
We've talked about that a little bit. It's going to be cleaned up to a residential standard. Now, whether someone, even if you said that and did that and had a piece of paper, whether someone would be uncomfortable buying it and building on it. So it's kind of in the departmental discussions right now, but
okay.
We had a couple other ideas, but we'll save that for another time.
Okay.
And just with that, who would carry the liability if we did turn it over to a residential lot or anything besides?
Well, I don't really know. My understanding is when they get done with this, the state will come in and certify that land as cleaned up to this standard, and my guess is they would give us some kind of documentation that has been done, and that, you know, this is what we did, this is but your particular question, I don't know. So in other words, you're asking if we sold this to someone, they built a house on it, all of a sudden
their child has three eyes where it should only have two. Tough to buy glasses for that kid.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Borough clerk's file.
I don't have a lot in my report. Just want to remind everybody that we're having that presentation on the marijuana regulations coming up on March 1st, and that's right in between when Corvus is going to be here. So I think they're going to be here at the Nolan Center on the 29th, and then the next day we're going to be doing this presentation, and then the day after Corvus will be back in there. So we're sharing the area, and I'm really excited about it, and I hope that, and I invited everybody. I got approval from Cynthia to videotape it, so I borrowed the recorder from the library. I haven't used one in like 20 years, so I'm going to have to figure out how to use a camcorder again. But anyways, I'm going to record it. Ketchikan asked me if I was going to do that, and I decided that I would. I did invite them. I don't know if anybody from Ketchikan will come, but yeah.
Any questions? Thank you. Item 10, 10A, reports by assembly members.
I would like to make a report. I would like to commend and thank Mr. Richards for going out the highway and picking up the garbage. Of course, nobody knows who Mr. Richard is unless I say Robo Richard. Now, Robo, when I seen him, was in the pouring rain picking up garbage. I don't know how far he went out, but at least 5-10 miles all the way out and partway back. And I commend him for doing that, and I think the community should thank him when you get a chance.
Yes.
I've been doing some research on the Forest Service lately. I understand that they're in a budget crunch just like everybody else is right now, but it's to the point where they're talking about raising rates for the cabins, not stocking some of them with firewood, not doing a lot of the maintenance that they've done in the past. And at the same time, they're taking public comment right now to build a new floating dock down at Ann. I just really think that those funds would be better used maintaining the facilities that we already have, fixing some of the trails like the Rainbow Falls Trail. It was just damaged in the last storm. So I'd like to urge the public out there to go to the Forest Service website, put in their comments how they feel about it, and if there's anything we can do as an assembly. I just would much rather think that it would much more benefit the community by maintaining the things that we have now instead of letting some of them get in disrepair.
Yeah.
Last week we had SEPA in town for our board meeting, and there was a great article in the paper on the Swan Rays, and that's proceeding nicely, and hopefully it will go forward this construction season. And we're working with Ketchikan to determine how we're going to have them on diesel during the raise, because we have to bleed the water down to a certain level. And Ketchikan raised the question of receiving some help for their diesel rate, which I am open to but cautious of, because there is a great benefit to Ketchikan primarily, although it will defer the need of some of the Tai Lake power. So that was a pretty hot topic, and we're excited that that's moving forward. The just quickly, I like to do this every time, but boys and girls had an excellent weekend for basketball. Very pleased for the Wolves, and some excellent sportsmanship, I think, exhibited by both teams. So pleased about that.
Yes.
Yes, had the opportunity to attend the Alaska Municipal League session up in Juneau, and I have to say that most of the presentations were doom and gloom about our budget crisis, and everyone's heard about it. However, there were two presentations that I thought were particularly good, because they did present potential solutions. We may not like all of them, but at least there are a few people who are willing to stand up and take responsibility and propose some solutions instead of just wringing their hands and not doing anything. So it'll be interesting to watch and see how it all plays out. But, you know, it was at least there were two high points. The rest of it was, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
Thank you. Anything further? Item 10B, appointment to fill the vacancies on various boards and committees. We have no letters of interest on any of the Planning Commission, Economic Development Committee, or the Nolan Museum and Civic Center Board. So we will continue advertising for those. And item 10C, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Wrangell Medical Center Hospital Board. It's an unexpired term ending October 2016. And we haven't received a letter of interest for that either. And item 11, persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have the opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. In other words, this is the only time you'll have to speak on an agenda item. We have one person to speak, that's Sydney Sweat, on the resolution of support for public broadcasting.
Good evening, I'm Cindy Sweat, 502 Wrangell Avenue. I'm not talking about anything on the agenda. I just wanted to come by personally and thank the Borough Assembly for sending that resolution to the state legislature for suggesting a support of less severe cut to public broadcasting than the 20% cut proposed by Governor Walker. And just to let you know that your action has caused a ripple effect throughout the state. Other communities and other assemblies have done the same thing and are sending in resolutions of support as well. I also want to just let you know that I appreciated that you added that piece about the local primary, KSTKB, the local primary for emergency alert system in our community. And it's a critical piece. I think the legislators need to be reminded of that because without the public stations, we don't have the statewide emergency alert system as we know it. So adding that reminder was really smart and really important, and I very much appreciate that. So many individuals have been writing to our representatives stating their concern about the severe cuts and having you guys, the local municipalities, behind this is great. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Item 12, unfinished business. We have none. That's unusual. Item 13, new business. Item 13A, approval of the bid received from Petro Marine Services to furnish petroleum products for the City of Borough of Wrangell, Wrangell Public Schools, and the Wrangell Medical Center.
I move to approve Petro Marine Services as the fuel provider for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Wrangell Public Schools, and the Wrangell Medical Center for the period of February 1, 2016 through January 31st, 2018, based on their management fee of 44 cents per gallon.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Yes.
Does this estimates for our school system and medical center and various other buildings, is that does that include heating oil? And are we looking at deferring from hydro to heating oil? So what my question is are we turning back on boilers on oil and turning off electric boilers?
Right now, the city isn't, because we can't right now. The Public Works building has a boiler that we're in the process of installing, so we couldn't if we wanted to. And I don't believe they are over here either, are they yet?
There's some potential
issue with the fuel tank.
It's settling.
But I believe, so those are our two options, but I believe the school, who operates separately, is on diesel, because right now it's about half of the cost of heating with electricity. So.
Okay, you can indulge me for a minute. I think it's short-sighted for the city and the school to go back to diesel. And I would much rather see the city discount its electric rate to those facilities down to whatever diesel costs. When we have city-owned buildings and we turn away from electric power and we go to diesel, that money is flowing outside of the city. We're better off to keep our electric rate low at whatever the diesel rate, even if we have to give it away, because it does two things. Number one, we get a discount from SEPA every year based on our actual usage. So I don't know if that's being calculated in. We know that's not a given, but that is a potential. Number two, and more importantly, we're going to at some point enter negotiations with Petersburg regarding the overall allocation of the power coming out of Taiti. And Petersburg historically uses more power than we do. And as we enter that negotiation, if we're at 40 and they're at 60, and we're bumping up against the maximum amounts that we can take from that project, I sure would rather see it at 50-50. It makes no sense to me that we could have part of something for the city and we're giving it all away in heating oil. It makes no sense to me. So, and if I can try to explain it this way, if we're paying a dollar for electric power and our wholesale rate is 65 cents, and the fuel, even if it's at 50 cents, we're still getting the 50 cents into our coffers and it's costing us 15 cents versus going with 100% power, we're putting out 65 cents and that goes away. And we have no potential rebate on that and we're not building up our usage. So I really like us to take a look at that to see how that pencils out. And I understand that it's a great savings for the school and it's a great savings over here, but it's one, I mean, we are a collective of all these different enterprise funds.
Well, Steve, I have a problem with a little bit of this, that you're picking winners and losers. By doing what you're saying, you're essentially going to penalize Petro Marine and their business because you're going to take $83,000 worth of their business away from them. I get hesitant when the borough starts getting involved in private sector. And by trying to force power versus diesel fuel, let's let the market sort it out and not pick winners and losers.
But we're already doing that. We're already, when, in essence, if the power is being produced and we get a better deal through the power, we then are picking the power over the Petromarine. So in essence, we're taking business away from a private business. And I'm looking at it from a standpoint of that we have a utility that we may save this money over here, but we are taking it from the public utility who we already know is in trouble, and their budget, this budget may look great over here, but this budget's gonna look like heck because Clay's team is not gonna have the money to do the infrastructure replacement or whatever they need to be doing. So at the end of the day, all I'm saying is that if we match the rate, it does several things, one of which is that it keeps that last remaining 3 cents in our coffers. And I view it that my job is to try to maximize the benefits to the city as a borough assembly person. And I think the maximum benefit is from having these various buildings run on electric boilers. And until maybe it goes down to a net wash, I don't know, and we could wind up there. But we're saving whatever the cents are per kilowatt hour, you know, as it turns out to BTUs.
Yeah, right, and just for informational purposes, the 44 cents here, that's the cost to get it from Seattle to here and in our tank.
Okay.
And it has been in the neighborhood of just a little over a dollar a gallon in Seattle where we buy it, and then they add this 44 cents to get it here. So so roughly, say a buck and a half that we've been paying for the fuel, and I think the break even is near about $3 right now. Where if fuel was $3 and what we do our electricity would be a break even. So right now the fuel is about half. Now whether if you cut our rates in half, what they're getting, which is 8.5 cents, if you cut that in half, it'd be 4 cents. And we'd be paying SEPA
2.5 or Yeah, we'd make two,
well,
six and a half.
We would pay them 6.8 cents.
Right.
And then we would only be getting, so the electric company would be
going to home.
They would be going backwards because they would be sending 6.8 cents to SEPA, but they'd only receive, if we went back to what?
Right, but currently they're going to get zero. They're currently going to get zero in terms of any revenue. So their budget, even if they get, something on something, am I wrong on this?
Yeah. If, okay, they buy 1 kilowatt hour.
Right.
From SEPA.
6.8.
And they write a check to SEPA and send it to them. And then they, the high school, say, or the city, buys that kilowatt hour and heats with it. If what you're saying is where you have to be competitive and you have to cut it in half, we would only get 4 cents, but send 6.8 cents out.
I understand, but what I want to know is after, with the other factor in there.
Right, I understand.
That's, I don't think it's being factored in.
And it's not, but it would have to be quite a bit more to make that work.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about two different things here. The item on the agenda is whether or not to approve the rate of the cost of the fuel. Whether or not that is the issues about using electric over oil is a related, but it is not the issue on the agenda. If you want that to be brought up, it should be brought up in a public meeting where people can have aware of it and be an agenda item.
Mr. Mayor, I do think, I guess the question that I have on it is that if I'm approving this, this is probably based on this volume. And if my question is about electric versus, this is just what they're going to charge us regardless of the volume?
They charge us by the gallon when we get it. So if we use more or less than what the volume is here,
okay,
it's just still the 44 cents. This okay. is an estimate, and that's how the bid is, because we don't
Fair
know
enough.
If it's a cold Fair winter enough. Or this, or tie breaks down, we have to, you know, we're on diesel all the time, or
okay.
I don't want to cut you off, and I think your what you brought up is really worth discussion. But I think it should be done as a separate item, a separate agenda item, and you can certainly bring it up at the next meeting.
Sounds good.
Any further discussion? Poll vote, please.
Simply members Mitchell.
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval of an amendment to the agreement for Corvus Design Incorporated to add electrical to the Mariners Memorial Design.
Move to approve an amendment in the amount of $4,250 to the agreement to Corvus Design Incorporated to add electrical to the Mariners Memorial Design, with funding to come from the Heritage Harbor Grant.
Second.
Mr. Mayor.
You have this, David?
Yeah.
Oh. I'll reread that. I'll withdraw my second.
Thank you.
Move to approve an amendment in the amount of $4,250 to the agreement to Corvus Design Incorporated to add electrical to the Mariners Memorial Design, with funding to come from the remaining Heritage Harbor construction funds.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I guess my big question on this, why wasn't this in the original design plans?
I don't know that answer. I don't think when they originally, they were going to have, it was just going to be structures there. So I don't know really, do you know?
My understanding is that no one thought about lighting from the view, and that's related to electrical and lighting.
Isn't that what we paid Corvus Design to do, though, was to think all these things through?
I'm thinking that that's probably why they
considered it, probably Corvus came back and said. So, but I know that just from attending a couple of the Port Commission meetings, that their task was the design of it. And so they're probably coming back and saying, you need to look at electrical, and the Port Commission agreed and approved that for the assembly to consider.
Any further, Paul, go ahead.
And the times I've been involved with it, with the Port Commission, it was, the emphasis was more on the
structure.
The structure and layout of how this would look and where things would go, and more of a, that I don't think at that time anybody was talking about any lighting on anything or anything, you know, mainly everything was going to be in the daytime. And so I'm not sure what the electrical, what they have in mind there. I know it's kind of a lighthouse kind of structure. So I don't know if they plan to do this for lighting that facility, but, and you may be right, I just don't know what the, all the discussions with the engineer and the Port Commission has been, so.
Any further discussion? Paul, vote please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, amendment to DOWL's design and construction inspection contract for the sewer pump station's replacement project.
Move to approve amendment number 4 to the design and contract administration slash inspection agreement with the DOWL in the amount of $28,817.75 to be paid from grant funds designated for the sewer pump replacement project.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Yeah.
Just real quick, Amber's here also, but if you have any more questions, but a lot of this was to do with the additional grant money we worked on for probably 5 months with USDA. The design, a lot of it was done, but so much of the requirements that they had to be redone, and they were willing to pay for that, but it's the only way they could allow us to get this grant money. And is that a lot of it?
Some modifications to the contract documents, and then right. Additional site visits and their involvement during construction, which we hadn't originally planned to have them be involved in, but USDA required that.
Right.
So they were willing to cover the added expense.
Any further questions or discussion? Paul, vote please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, amendment to PND Engineers Design Contract for the Wood Street Improvement Project.
Move to approve, authorize the borough manager to issue amendment number 8 to PND Engineering for professional services in the amount not to exceed $4,765, with funds to come from the State of Alaska DCCED project funds for the Wood Street project.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Just one quick comment. It appears that, should I break the bad news? The Evergreen project was supposed to be done back in, I think you were still with Peggy, and was that in 2013 or 14?
13.
And I remember Peggy called me and was disappointed that she'd heard that it wasn't going to be done in 2013. And I said, well, I've just talked to them, and they said they're going to get the design done this year, and they will pave it in 2014. We just now have heard that this will not be paved until 2017. We've made argument after argument of why this federal money can't come into a community and let us do it. But for some reason, federal highways, where this money comes from, will not allow that to be done. So, and the Wood Street project, we're asking for an extension from the state on that because we wanted to do it in the same year they're going to do paving. And the Wood Street grant runs out June of 2017. And so we didn't want to do it this year if there isn't a paver active in town. So We're seeing if we can get a year extension on that, so next year when they pave the Evergreen project, that we can do our street at the same time and hopefully get a little savings and economy of scale. But it's disappointing because the similar thing happened on Front Street. It was two or three years too late, and I know Bob Purnell and I lobbied at the state level and the commissioner, and oh no, we've got her together now. And I've talked to, actually I was at a grant thing in Anchorage at one time, and talked to a big wig with Federal Highways, and they kind of said the same thing, that because they don't have a office in the state of Alaska, that they just are required to run it through DOT. So, but it's disappointing because it's just keeps happening over and over and again, and one year goes into the next and the next and the next. And so anyway, that's
same old problem. DOT got it together, but they forgot where they put it.
Yeah, because last year we were assured that it would be done this spring.
Yeah, I agree. And we were promised that the year before and the year before. So, it's frustrating, and it just, you know, we've lobbied, and I know other communities have had the same problem and lobbied, and it's just disappointing that, you know, the money is there, and it's, but. You know, we've done all kind of federal grants every agency you can imagine, and never had any issues with them. And you'd think that if you had a community that had a good track record, that they would allow you to, and there are a lot of requirements, but there isn't anything that, you know, we haven't done before, or Petersburg hasn't, or Ketchikan, but they will not relinquish that, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So my question is you get that extension for Wood Street, and that gets pushed to 18, okay, is it going to cost us a lot more money, supposedly, to do Wood Streets then?
Because it could. I mean, I would be surprised if it go to 18. I think their design is done pretty much. I think they're working out some of the details at this point. They still got to do their land acquisitions and, you know, easement takes and that kind of stuff. But I think most of the rest of the work is sure.
Amber Alhead, 11.2 miles of Movia Highway. We had a meeting with DOT this past Monday. This is where we found this information out. They are working diligently on the design to get it done and go to bid this year, and they are hopeful that they will actually accomplish that and begin the project this year, but only focus on doing all of the underground work and retaining wall work that they can do, and then just have the project ready for paving next year. So it sounds like they've got an internal, an agency deadline of September 15th. They can't do any paving beyond that date. So that's kind of what's driving this split in the construction seasons. But at this point, that's what they're telling me, is that they do plan to start this year. It's just that the paving won't occur until next year.
So Wood Streets goes up to the clinic, right? Okay. So have we made a commitment with AICS, or is it a part of any agreement that we're going to, obviously the access road, but then their parking lot, is that, or that's nothing to do with us?
No, the road, the Wood Street reconstruction project is just under 500 feet of that road from Zamovia Highway, and it extends just beyond the access road into the clinic. We'll pave a small apron into that entrance to the clinic, and that's where it will end. There is no obligation, my understanding, from the city to the clinic to do any paving. There is, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, in the original agreement, it's been a while since I've read this, but the original agreement between the hospital and AICS before they moved up there identified that all of the grounds, including the streets and paving, or streets and maintenance, would be taken care of by the hospital.
Because it's bad up there, and when it rains and freezes, it's a nightmare. And that access road, I know it was graded recently, but it doesn't take long to become really horrible again.
There was a question to my department earlier in the year about paving or grading that road, and I think we didn't really ever come to an agreement on whether or not to do that. Originally, there was a discussion about whether or not it was considered a private road, and if so, should the city be grading it? I think Jeff, I was supposed to bring that to you to take to the assembly to make a decision on that. I've never done that. So that would be a consideration for you all to entertain.
But we're paying for the paving, but it's considered a private road?
I'm sorry, the access road.
The access road? Oh, I see what you're saying. Wood Street itself, that, okay.
So when we do take our equipment up there and grade Wood Street, we will hit that entrance, because that seems to be, you find a lot of the potholes right there at the stop sign. But beyond that, we haven't been routinely taking care of that road.
So then your understanding of the remainder is actually with the hospital, that was an agreement with the hospital, which we're excluding ourselves from, then, in essence?
I don't take care of the hospital. So if the hospital wants to ask the city to assist them in that, I guess I don't know how that would work. I would need some direction and how internally that would work.
Do you have any idea, Jeff?
No, I think because the hospital didn't go up there at this point in time, I'm not sure. I guess that would be an assembly decision if they wanted to grade or maintain AICS's parking lot and road.
Well, you know, the hospital not being up there is not AICS's fault. It was kind of an agreement that they would go up there and the hospital would be joining them, basically, and that they would share the facility, at least the area, for the convenience of the people of the city. And through no fault of their own, the hospital is not up there. And they came to this agreement, apparently, with that understanding that the hospital would be there between the two of them. And I don't, you know, it is, the clinic is performing a public service. And all of us, at one time or another, have probably been up there. I don't know anybody here that hasn't. And I don't see why it would be, the grader has to turn around in it somewhere. And I can't see grading the parking lot. I think that is a responsibility. But that short little access road in there, I think if they grade it, that'd be great, quite frankly.
Okay. I've talked to Jeff about a few things, the roads and all that stuff, and
excuse me,
streets.
Point of order, please.
Yes.
I mean, we have a motion about this contract that really doesn't have much to do with grading the roads and doing those things, and I think
you're
we ought
exactly
to.
Exactly right. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Related to the motion?
It was on the Wood Street. Anything on
yes,
Wood Street?
Yes, on Wood Street. So we're asking here for an amendment to P&D. Some of this work has actually been done by P&D. They offered to move forward with it so they could get us to the point where we could identify where our costs are right now. So if, for some reason, I guess the only thing to consider in your motion would be if we get the extension and we don't move forward with Wood Street this year, we might postpone the remaining work for them to do. It would be pointless to move forward with that extra work because your construction costs are going to change. By the time you get to it next year, they're going to have to redo the same work. So I would propose that some of the work has already been done and some of this would need to be approved. The rest of it I would forego if we get the extension from the city.
Nothing further. Thank you. Any further discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, recommendation for CRW Engineering Group's water treatment pilot testing.
Move to accept the recommendation of CBW staff and CWR engineers to implement water treatment testing based on preferred alternate four testing methods using dissolved air flotation, DAF, with multimedia filtration.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? What are all these additions?
Just in a nutshell, what's going on here is we have a grant to do a pilot study for looking at a, you know, a different kind of water treatment. The water treatment we have is fine for the quality of water. The big issue we have is we can't push enough of it through the system when the canneries are running. I think that's in a nutshell. So we're looking at different systems, and they've gone through and tested our water and looked at different possible options. And I think between the engineers and Amber and Wayne at the water treatment plant, I think the recommended approach, or the one they would like to proceed with, is this recommendation. So what they would do then is they would actually bring in a mini plant and run, you know, a smaller quality or quantity of water through it, just to see if it will work like they believe it will, to see if the actual plant that they will put in, so when we go to a bigger plant, it will work. So that's where we're at now in this process. And so the next step for them, and they will bring it in, I believe sometime in August, when the canneries are running full bore and our water is at its worst. So that's kind of the period of time we want to make sure that, you know, this all works in the worst case scenario. So is that fair enough, Amber?
Yes, could I have one more question?
Sure.
One thing that wasn't included in my synopsis of this report, which is available for you if you want to read it, it's just a lot of information. I was trying to figure out what would be most beneficial for you in the short term. But the other reason that we have decided to focus on the DAF methodology was based on the comparison costs that the engineers provided us. So those included the capital that would be required to implement these new plants, reviewing all five of the options, the annualized capital, and then the O&M costs. So the lowest O&M cost is actually what we're doing now, but it also has the highest capital. It requires to do the recommendations that they are proposing would take us to the next level with the system that we're using, the slow sand filtration and the ozonation. Requires a lot more land mass, so expanding the plant. We need a larger footprint. We're very limited up there. So there are some concerns with that option. But it does have the lowest O&M cost, which is going to be a big focus for us. It always is, and will for the next few years especially. The DAF is the next lowest cost as far as O&M costs. And it actually has the lowest capital cost of all of the options. I will say, though, it doesn't appear, and the engineers agree, that it may not be the best option for acquiring the best quality drinking water of these options. But if it fares better, they're supposing it's going to fare better than what we have now. So there's a lot of things to consider, you know, the process, the cost, the upfront cost, the maintenance costs. And so that's the other piece that I didn't include here originally regarding the basis for our recommendation.
Two questions. So if this works the way that they are looking or thinking that it will work, it will allow us to push more water through the system, and it'll be better quality water than what we have right now.
Yes, that's the assumption, and the pilot testing will give us better information about that. So the DAF system itself would be eliminating the slow sand filtration, which doesn't work, especially in the summertime when we have so much capacity that we're trying to push through. It'll eliminate those filtration systems altogether and bring in two pilot plants, if you will, that could actually fit in some of the space that we have now. And the process for doing the filtration in that system is much different. It's faster, it's easier. There is a little bit more cost in some of the chemicals that it takes, hence the additional costs and the O&M costs. But yes, it is proposed that it will give us a better quality in our water and produce the water faster for us.
You had?
Yeah, the other question that I had, and probably can't even answer this one right now, is we implement this, what, if anything, is it going to do to the water rates that the customers have to pay?
The pilot study itself? Or?
Overall. Say the pilot study is successful and we decide to implement this, what's that going to do with our water rates?
That's not been determined yet. That has not been studied. Based on the engineer's initial estimates, O&M costs with our current system, these are rough numbers, $252,000 per year, and these are not all of our expenses. They're primarily labor and chemicals, versus the DAF at $386,000. So that is the additional, or the difference between those two O&M costs, where the others, you'll see they're right up in the 500 and plus, 500,000 and plus for O&M costs for some of the other systems.
Amber, so when we put in the sand filtration system, and I know you weren't here when we did that, but did we not anticipate the flow rate that we were going to demand of that system, or was there increased turbidity, or what happened that we're not able to push it through?
I think that there are a couple of issues. I have heard that this system that we have is probably not the right system for the type of water that we have. Probably wasn't from the beginning. It doesn't sound like it was really liked from the very beginning. We just have a lot of sedimentation in our water, and that slow sand filtration, it just isn't, it'll work over time, but I think it's twofold. I think it's, how much we have of contaminants in the water, and then coupled with the added production that we've seen with, not blaming them, but the canneries, they demand a lot of water. And then just as our town has kind of shrunken and grown again, that water demand has changed. So it's demand and just the type of plant that we have combined with the type of water we have.
Okay, and the DAF, the DAF system, is it scalable so that it is easily increased if we have increased water demands?
That's a good question. I can't answer that right now.
Okay.
So the when you're talking pushing more water through and stuff like that, we've always had this discussion, maybe not right now, but about the water that we have up there. Do we have enough water to push through this new system? Because we talked about raising the dams years ago. And
we've got multiple problems. Unless you have a really dry summer, we have enough water in the reservoirs normally to do that. We've had situations where it's got concerningly low, but I think generally that isn't the main problem. I think the main problem is we really struggle when both canneries are cranking. They're down here 24 hours a day, and we have if they were closed even part of the time, we could recover a little bit. We have two tanks up there, we can get water back in them, but when they just keep going, it really, we just can't recover, and it just keeps kind of sucking it down. But the reservoirs, that's another issue. There's a $50 million problem there. We've had studies done. The Corps of Engineers come in here, and basically they're but to answer your question, there is enough water to run through the new system,
okay.
I think, at least in the short term.
Additionally, the idea is that if this system does pan out, it looks like something we should move toward. If it's moving water through faster than what our water is moving through our slow sand filtration, it will move it faster, number one, because it's going to be a better process to actually attract those contaminants. And to some degree, there's a resin that coagulates with them, and then you skim those off. So if that can be done faster, And with the slow sand filtration, as your reservoir's lower, you're actually getting more sediment coming in too. So it's a lot harder on the system that we have now as those reservoirs drop. Okay. So hopefully a new system would address that issue too as we bid those summers where our water supply is lower.
Any further discussion? Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file. A summary report was provided to assembly members. Item 15, executive session is none. Item 16, adjournment. 7:55 p.m.